Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading to you from the Epistle of Galatians. The Epistle of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. I wish to read from chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son into the world. Jesus Christ lived in the world because God sent Him into the world. The announcement of God sending His Son into the world is recorded in Luke 1, verses 31 through 35. These words are spoken by an angel to a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. The angel said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Mary would bring a son into the world through the conception of the Holy Spirit. The angel said that the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing which shall be conceived of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit would bring forth the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ as God sent Him into the world, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, for the purpose of redeeming us that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. The child that would be born would be called Jesus. The angel said that Jesus would be great. He would be called the Son of the Highest. The angel declared unto Mary that the Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David. He would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. The Old Testament prophet Daniel had spoken of an eternal kingdom in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. Now the Holy Spirit tells Mary that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be the king of that eternal kingdom. Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary. God sent His Son into the world. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not come into the world by the ordinary means of conception, but rather Jesus was conceived of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. God sent Jesus into the world. In Matthew 1, verses 21 through 25, the record of the conception of Jesus is, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew quotes in the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah had spoken some 700 years before the birth of Christ, saying that a virgin would be with child, would bring forth a son. His name would be called Emmanuel. This name would mean that God is with us. God was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was deity. Jesus was divine. God had come to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah was in Mary and the conception by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus would come into the world so that he would save his people from their sins. As Joseph heard these words, he took unto him his wife Mary, but he knew her not until after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The child that was born of Mary was called Jesus. He would be known as Jesus throughout his earthly life. In John 1, verse 18, John the Apostle writes, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John says that the Son was the only begotten Son. He was begotten of God. He had been in the bosom of the Father, but now he was declared to be upon the earth. He had been begotten of God. Jesus was not born by the ordinary human means of conception. He did not live upon the earth because man and woman conceived the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather he was upon the earth because God had sent him into the world. The divine Christ had become Jesus as he lived upon the earth. Born of God, begotten of God, recognized and known and accepted as the only begotten Son. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John says that God so loved the world. So deeply did God love the world that he sent a Son which was born of him, begotten by the Holy Spirit, so that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life, rather than perishing. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life, rather than losing our soul and being condemned and forever separated from God. We can be united with God and live with God if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this must be obedient faith. Belief is the keeping of the commandments and the statutes of God. Belief is total and full obedience to the complete will of the Lord Jesus Christ, as has been revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. Those who believe on the Son of God, accept him as the begotten Son of God, know and understand that he is divine in his nature and that he lived upon the earth because God so willed that he would live, have everlasting life. 1 John 4, 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." As Jesus was in the world, we can live through him. As Jesus came into the world, we can be saved from our sins. As Jesus came into the world as the Son of God, we can have everlasting life through our acceptance and obedience that he is what John identifies as the only begotten Son. Hebrews 1, verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." In these scriptures which we have noticed, Jesus is the begotten Son of God. Jesus has been begotten of God. Hence we know that Jesus has a divine nature. He is deity incarnate. He was God as he lived upon the earth. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians, he said that Jesus would be begotten in the fullness of time. This phrase, in the fullness of time, means that God would send forth His Son into the world according to the time of His good pleasure. Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. God's eternal plan of human redemption was in the dispensation of the fullness of time. God acted according to His counsel. The developments recorded in the Old Testament were the actions of God in the design to bring forth His Son into the world. 1 Peter 1, verse 20, who verily, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was precious and who was without stain and without sin, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God's plan of human redemption was formulated even before the foundation of the world. We have the foundation of the world laid, as is recorded in Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Before that divine event took place, God in His infinite mind had planned for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ so that humanity could be redeemed from sin. Now in these last times, Jesus has been manifested. Jesus has come to the earth. He has been conceived by the Virgin Mary of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has been brought forth to live and preach the fullness of God as He lived upon the earth. Colossians 1, 25, 26, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Paul speaks of a mystery. He speaks of this mystery in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. He speaks of this mystery when he writes to the Ephesian Christians in chapter 3 of that grand epistle. This mystery, which was the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the design of God to bring the Gentiles into a relationship with God and to know the blessings that would come to them through the Lord Jesus Christ and their obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, had been hidden from ages and from generations. But now, according to the dispensation of God, according to the divine will of God, according to the eternal plan of God, according to the counsel of God, God acts and performs according to His counsel, according to His divine will. Jesus came at the time that God willed to send Him into the world. Jesus was born in the manner that He was born, of a virgin through the conception of the Holy Spirit, so that He might be divine in nature. God had come to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus bore the image of God. Jesus was God. As He spoke to the multitudes concerning the rules and the statutes that God had for their life, so that remission of sins and everlasting life could become the possession of every soul. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, as Peter preaches to this great multitude that is assembled in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Every act that took place in the life of Jesus had been designed by God. God had planned everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, so that His plan of human redemption might be known to the whole of humanity. Peter declares that Jesus had been delivered according to the counsel of God. The Jews had acted according to the divine will that God had in mind, And that plan was now put in place as the Jews took Jesus by their wicked hands and crucified and slew him. Christ was God in human flesh. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse 14, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John identifies Christ as the Word. He identifies the eternal nature of God. The Word was in the beginning. In the beginning refers all the way back to Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, when time began, when the world began, when humanity began. The Word was there. The Word was with God. Not only was the Word present with God, but John says the Word was God. He dwelt in the beginning with God. Jesus has an eternal nature just as God has an eternal nature. But John says the Word that dwelt with God, that was present in the beginning with God, has been made flesh and has dwelt among us. As we looked upon Jesus, we beheld his glory, and he had and possessed the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John refers to Jesus as being begotten of the Father, born of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came full of grace and truth. John later writes an epistle to those who have believed upon God through the Lord Jesus Christ and who are followers of God. At 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, "That which was from the beginning," John had said in John 1, verse 1, "in the beginning," "that which was from the beginning." Jesus existed from the beginning. Jesus lived when everything had a beginning. "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." John says that one whom they had heard, seen, looked upon, and handled with their hands was the eternal life. That life was with the Father, but was now manifested, made known unto us. Who was Jesus? He was God in human flesh. When they looked upon Jesus, they saw God. When they heard Jesus speak, they heard God. When they touched Jesus, they touched God. Philippians 2, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus was in the form of God and was on an equality with God, but he emptied himself. He made of himself no reputation. Jesus performed this in becoming a servant, made in the likeness of men. Jesus, the divine God, became flesh and blood. He was found upon the earth as a man who was humble and submitted to becoming human. and eventually became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. His deity was declared by the miracles which he performed. Jesus was a miracle worker. In the New Testament, we read of the miracles which Jesus performed. They were miracles that varied. In John 20, 30 and 31, John tells us why his gospel was written. We have four accounts of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those accounts in the Bible are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, in his gospel, tells us why he wrote his gospel, his message of good news. At chapter 20, verses 30, 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John said that he wrote his epistle so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through that belief we might have life in his name. John records seven miracles in his gospel which the Lord Jesus Christ performed. The first of those was the turning of water into wine, recorded in John chapter 2. Jesus also performed the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. These mighty miracles were the confirmation that Jesus was the Son of God, for no human being who had lived before this time had ever performed such miracles. No man since that time has ever performed such miracles. What does the turning of water into wine and the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? It tells us that he was, as John said, the Son of God. This is why John had written this epistle. This is the message of this epistle. As Jesus performed these miracles of healing and even the resurrection from the dead, overcoming many natural disasters, he declared that he was the Son of God. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22, Peter is preaching to the multitude at Pentecost, and he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Jesus of Nazareth was, in Peter's words, a man approved of God. How did God approve of the Lord Jesus Christ? By miracles, wonders, and signs. No one could perform the miracles, wonders, and signs which Jesus performed. No person since that time has performed the miracles, wonders, and signs which Jesus performed. Peter said that this was the declaration that Jesus Christ was a man approved of God. The miracles that Jesus performed declared his deity. The resurrection declared his deity. Jesus was crucified. He was buried. But on the third day following his burial, he arose from the dead. Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Paul writes to the Roman Christians, those beloved of God, verse 7 of chapter 1, that Jesus had been declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The raised body of the dead Christ declared him to be the Son of God. In Acts chapter 2, at 32 and 33, Peter preaches, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. God raised up Jesus. Peter said, we are witnesses of that. He now sits at the right hand of God, being exalted. He has received the promise of the Father through the Holy Ghost. As Jesus was raised from the dead, he is declared to be the Son of God. The Father himself declared his deity. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus travels to the river of Jordan. He goes there to be baptized in the river Jordan by John the wilderness preacher. The scripture says, Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus has been raised from the water of baptism by John the baptizer. And as this action is performed in the life of Christ, a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son. Later in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus will travel to the mount with Peter, James, and John. And while he is transfigured before them, there is a bright cloud that overshadows them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. At the baptism of Jesus Christ and at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, both events recorded in Matthew's Gospel, God declares, this is my beloved Son. God the Father declared Jesus to be the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. The miracles which Jesus Christ performed while he lived upon the earth declared him to be the Son of God. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit to be the Son of God. Jesus is confessed as deity. In Matthew 14, verse 33, the disciples are traveling with Jesus, are traveling on the stormy sea, and Jesus appears to them and he calms the sea. And he comes into the ship after he has walked on the water. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Later in Matthew chapter 16, at verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. These individuals made that confession because they believed with all of their heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Later, in following the resurrection of Christ, in John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas confesses Jesus to be the Lord of his life. Thomas confesses Jesus to be God. At Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible speaks that all of us must make that confession if we would have eternal life with God the Father. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With our mouth we confess what we believe in our heart. As we read the Bible, this great book having been delivered by God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we behold the life of Christ and all that Christ did and all that Christ preached, we believe him to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe him to be God, having lived in human flesh. We confess with our mouth that faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, with all of those disciples who followed him, who believed upon him, who served him following his ascension into heaven. We confess with them that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We live a life of obedient faith, awaiting the judgment of God and our acceptance of God in the world to come. Jesus Christ is deity. Talks from the Bible have been brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.